The gospel lesson is found in Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. Jesus had just told his disciples that he must take a journey to Jerusalem where he would suffer and die. And then it goes on. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. A few days earlier, Jesus had warned his disciples that it wouldn't be easy to be one of his followers. Jesus had warned them that he must undergo great suffering and be killed, and that it would be costly for them too to follow him. They would suffer. "If any of you want to become my followers," he said, "you must be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross." We can only imagine the fear and anxiety that the disciples must have felt. This was not what they had signed up for. Some days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John for a prayer retreat up on the mountain to give him strength for his journey to Jerusalem, and I suppose to give the disciples a new perspective on the life they were facing as followers of Jesus. Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Moses and Elijah were there with him as well, the great lawgiver and the prophet who was expected to precede the Messiah. It was a truly amazing and spectacular event, a glimpse of heaven high up there on the mountaintop, far away from the chaos and the suffering below. What might change for us if we could experience something like that? to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a reality up there greater than ourselves, something more glorious than the life we experience here below, greater than the fears and suffering in this world. Oh, if we could just escape the troubles of the world, even only for a little while. We try different ways to transcend the harsh realities of human life down here. Some try yoga or meditation or various forms of mental and physical exercise. I go running. Una tells me that knitting seems to work for her. Some people literally climb mountains to get away from the noise and the chaos of daily life, to be nearer to God's majesty and peace. Music is a wonderful way to experience God's glory. Mozart must have been in a mountaintop state of mind when he wrote the anthem which the choir sang this morning. Other people mistakenly think alcohol or drugs will give them the high they need to escape a world filled with pain and suffering. In a sense, we cannot escape human reality. But I believe there are those moments in life when God's glory is revealed and we get a glimpse of heaven so that we can better face life with hope and courage. One of the things I notice in Luke's story of the Transfiguration is that the three disciples almost missed out on the glory. They were about to fall asleep, but they stayed awake just long enough to get a glimpse of heaven. And maybe sometimes we're not fully awake and we miss the glory of seeing God's majesty, which is all around us. We neglect coming to God in worship and prayer and meditating on the scriptures. You probably know the story of Anne Frank, who escaped the terror of being discovered by German Nazis by writing beautiful, heartfelt words throughout the pages of her diary. She knew the reality of a loving God, even though there was so much fear and suffering around her. If we could just know the reality of heaven and get a glimpse of glory now and then, what a difference it would make in our lives. It could help us through difficult times. It could inspire us to help others, like Anne Frank's inspiring words. There's a text in the second letter of Peter. Peter writes, "We ourselves heard this voice from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So also you will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." When Peter saw Moses and Elijah standing there with Jesus on the mountain in all his glory, he offers to build three dwellings as a memorial. He wants to honor and preserve this moment of glory, to make it last as long as possible. But God stops Peter in mid-sentence. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." God cuts Peter's transcendent moment short and points to Jesus standing alone. The bright lights are dimmed. Moses and Elijah are gone. And there is only Jesus, God's son in flesh and blood, fully human And together they make their way back down to the valley below. Whether or not you've ever had a mountaintop revelation of God's glory, this scripture assures us all that God is with us. The revelation of His glory is often momentary or hidden. God chose to live down here with us. He did not use His divinity to escape, not even from death. He chose to suffer the cruelty of crucifixion rather than to escape to a mountaintop closer to God. You can imagine that Peter, James, and John were not the same after they had this experience and came down from the mountain back into the world that would kill their friend and leader. But now they could see things from a new point of view. Jesus was transfigured, and the disciples caught a glimpse of God's majesty and glory. They heard a voice. For a moment, they saw Jesus as the long-promised Messiah, the one sent from God to save them. And when they walked back down the mountain, they walked into a different kind of world because of what they saw. These mystical moments of life can change the way we see and experience the world around us. On the eve of his assassination, Martin Luther King Jr. shared a mountaintop experience at a Masonic temple in Memphis. His testimony changed America. He concluded his sermon with a reference to Moses on the eve of his death. "I don't know what will happen now," said King. "We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." King's vision changed America. He gave us a wider vision and a new way of seeing reality so that today we too can glimpse a bit of heaven down here in our messy and troubled world. We glimpse a time when people of all races and all nations will show love for one another. In a sense, King was a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawned and the morning star rose in the hearts of many people. And there are others today, too, who continue to bear witness to the reality of God's glory and presence among us, giving us strength and hope that the world is worth saving. Now to look at the end of today's lesson, which I think is very important, we find here what the transfiguration really means. When Jesus and the three disciples come down from the mountain, they find a father with an only child mauled by seizures and convulsions. The father had pleaded with the other disciples to cast out the spirit that caused his suffering, but they could not. Jesus chastises them for their lack of faith and casts out the unclean spirit and gives the boy back to his father. This example of Jesus was enough for Heidi Newmark to find hope while serving a struggling church in the Bronx. In her memoir, Breathing Space, A Spiritual Journey in the South Bronx, Newmark details the transformation of a church that she served for almost 20 years, aptly named Transfiguration Lutheran Church. I remember meeting her once and visiting this church years ago, and I was part of a study group with the seminary. This church was barely surviving when Pastor Heidi arrived. standing there in the midst of poverty and the overwhelming problems of the South Bronx, this congregation had tried to survive, mostly by keeping its doors tight shut from the world around it. But then a kind of transfiguration took place. This church realized that living high up in the rarefied air of piety and devotion isn't enough. The church is called to do more than that. The life of faith was never meant to be a private experience away from the cruel world. The glory of God is to be shared with others, with the community. And so this church regained new life when it began to open its doors and begin to meet its neighbors in this valley of humanity. There is a centuries-old painting by Raphael entitled The Transfiguration. Perhaps you've seen it. It pictures Christ clothed in white with Moses and Elijah in the upper half of the painting, while the story of the possessed boy is at the bottom half of the canvas. The panicked father is shown holding on to his boy. The frustration of the crowd is shown in their outstretched arms and look of desperation on their faces. However, among the crowd are two figures pointing up to the mountain in which the transfigured Christ shines in white. This is the Jesus who will come down the mountain to bring life and healing to the boy. Now, for Luke, who recorded this story, Jesus was not only the savior of this young boy. He was sent to be the savior of the whole world. That is the message of the Transfiguration. For us, through the gifts of worship and sacraments, prayer and fellowship, works of mercy and justice, Jesus' glory shines among us. It is tempting to imagine the world as beyond hope. Hope often wanes, even among faithful people. But there are moments of transfiguration in all of our lives. So let's be transformed by that amazing majesty and glory revealed on the mountain. And let us listen to the voice that came from the cloud that overshadowed it. This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.